inside the creature. It came out the other side before exploding. Mortally wounded, the spider grabbed a Hummer in its mandibles, but was unable to lift the heavy wag. Flintlocks discharged steadily, and the battle zone was becoming smoky with the fumes of spent black powder, but the Sect men raked the beast with their rapid fires, then put two more firebirds into the gore-streaked muti. Taking advantage of the distraction, JB and Ryan returned to the broken door of the train station and surveyed the outside battle. The spider was clearly dying.
Spider's losing.
Gonna be after us next.
We could hide in the tunnels.
Mitchum would only run us down with the Hummers.
Ryan squeezed off shots with his silenced weapon. Two more Sect men fell. Then a flurry of machine gun fire ripped up the doorway.
Brilliant, Carter.
The men retreated behind the brick wall.
Our best bet is to stop them here, then go hunt for the redoubt.
Several mini-balls hummed through the open doorway. Sticking out the Uzi, JB triggered a short burst.
Yeah, I'm sick of running, too.
Give me that launcher.
Here. Only got one missile, though.
That'll do.
Ryan pulled out the arming pin for the remaining rocket and moved away from the doorway to take a position behind some benches a few yards distant. Then the man assumed a firing stance, but with the wrong end of the launcher pointed toward the broken doors.
What's he doing?
Killing two birds, Dean. Get ready. Here they come.
With the roar of a diesel engine, a Hummer crashed through the double doors, the armored fenders slamming the remains of the doors aside and removing most of the jam. Ignoring the vehicle, Ryan triggered the launcher. Instantly, the Law rocket shot away from the front on a column of fire to streak across the station and strike the iron grating. Designed to kill tanks, the shaped charge blew the barrier apart and sent a shotgun charge of shrapnel hurtling down the sloped ramp beyond. At the same moment the rocket launched, the backblast erupted from the aft end of the boxy weapon just as the second Hummer appeared in the doorway. Holding the weapon steady, Ryan let the Sect men drive through the fiery exhaust, shattering the windshield and beheading the driver. The Sect man standing at the machine gun was ripped away from the blaster and went flying, leaving an arm behind. The rest of the crew was buffeted by the searing hot gases, the flesh scalded from their faces. Completely out of control, the Hummer cut a swath through the benches to the sound of splintering wood and crashed into a ticket counter, a whirlwind of ancient paper engulfing the dying men in an impromptu blizzard. The third Hummer banked away from the doorway, and JB riddled the crew with his Uzi as they drove by. Expertly, the wiry man rode the chattering rapid fire into a tight figure eight, the copper-jacketed 9mm rounds tearing the Sect men apart like rag dolls. Meanwhile, the companion stayed behind the pillars and rattled the first Hummer as it drove around inside the station. In short, controlled bursts, Doc emptied his M16, chilling the driver. As the rest of the Sect men started returning fire with their flintlocks, Christie rolled a grin under the armored wag. Her aim was good, and the sphere detonated under the front of the vehicle. The explosion flipped the nose, and impelled by their speed, the wag flipped over to crash onto the marble floor and slid for a dozen yards.
Fuck!
Pinned underneath, the trapped Sect men beat their fists on the steel plating as the smell of shine from the leaking fuel tank got stronger. Then Dean hit the wag with a Molotov. The vehicle was engulfed by flames, the curses changing into shrieks of terror as the fuel ignited and spread toward the crumpled pod full of firebirds.
Gonna blow! Shit!
JB and Ryan tossed away the launcher and raced past the burning Hummer to rejoin the others and head quickly down the ramp into the subway tunnel. Hopping over the turnstile, they rushed to the departure platform's edge and looked quickly around for any indication of the redoubt. The only illumination was a weak shaft of reflected sunlight coming down the ramp. Nothing unusual was in sight. Soda machines, benches, and payphones dotted the long platform. On the walls of the tunnel, a vista of mosaic tiles depicted people playing on the beach, the picture gently sloping into a high vaulted ceiling.
What now?
Well...
The entire station shook under the trip-hammer blast of the detonating firebirds. The titanic concussion blew down the ramp like a hurricane and knocked the companions off their feet. Too close to the edge, Mildred was thrown off the platform to land sprawling across the pre-dark train tracks with her face resting on the third rail.
Oh, shit!
She recoiled from the contact, braced for death, only to remember there couldn't possibly be any power flowing through the rail. But trained responses were hard to break. In her time, even this brief contact would have been lethal.
Got to find the redoubt.
Dean started to light a pressurized camping lantern.
No light.
Okay.
Heart still pounding, Mildred rose stiffly and shuffled into the Stygian darkness beyond the shaft of sunlight pouring down the stairwell. Suddenly, bright lights filled the ramp. A Hummer bumped its way through the twisted ruin of the grating and rolled slowly down the sloped ramp. Then it surged with speed, ran through the turnstile, and screeched to a halt at the edge of the platform.
Over there, sir!
The 50 cal started chattering, the big slugs ricocheting everywhere in the confines of the tunnel. Moving fast, the companions took cover in the darkness, splashing through the ankle-deep water and kicking the rats out of the way. The headlights' parallel beams washing along the tunnel, the military wag rolled to the edge of the platform, and Mitchum set the brakes but kept the engine running.
Think we can make that?
The corporal at the machine gun scowled. He really wasn't sure about anything after seeing the obliterated Hummer lying in pieces in that blast crater upstairs. Damn Outlanders were trickier than an old baron and meaner than a two-headed snake.
Don't know, sir. My busted axle, but we could winch a wag down.
And give them a wag to escape in? Fuck that. We'll stay right here.
Suddenly, lights flashed from the ramp, and the second Hummer rolled to the platform and parked alongside the first. But not so close that if one exploded, the other would also be destroyed. The Sec-Man had learned the hard way to be wary of the one-eyed Outlander and his cold-heart crew.
Order, sir?
The private standing at the 50 cal worked the bolt on the massive rapid fire in preparation to fire.
Stay where you are and shoot anything that moves.
The colonel removed the pre-dark revolver from his shoulder holster and stepped from behind the windshield. The Sec-Man stood there for a while, listening to the sounds of the underground passageway. As long as he stayed behind the headlights, the beam should blind anybody out there to his exact presence.
Ryan! I know you're there! Surrender, and I'll make your death quick and painless. That's a promise! Bite me! It'll take weeks to die! And your bitch will be the first to get aced!
A 9mm round ricocheted off the armored wag's fender, missing the sec chief by less than a prayer.
Kill the fucker!
Keeping close to the tile wall, Ryan placed his Sig Sauer shots, then switched to the Steyr for better accuracy. Most of the companions were ensconced in similar locations, blasters banging away as they tried for the headlights. The triple stoop Sec-Men couldn't hit what they couldn't see, but the moment Mitchum thought of using the high beams, this battle would turn against them. Privately, Ryan had hoped Mitchum would be stupid enough to try to lower a wag to the tracks. Then they'd take it out with their last remaining grens and the fight would be equal. But the man was too smart, or too cowardly, to risk a direct assault. Sliding in a fresh clip, the Deathlance warrior heard something deeper in the tunnel, then ignored it as the sound got fainter in the distance. Christy and Dean were moving slowly along the opposite sides of the tunnel, exploring the wall with their hands, trying to find the entrance to the redoubt. Unless the Whitecoats used a subway train to move the supplies, the redoubt was right here, hidden somewhere in the dark, maybe under the very gravel they were standing on. But there were no more clues from the dead protocol Whitecoat. They had to find it by themselves or get flatlined. Just then, the 50 cal stopped firing, and four brilliant beams of light filled the tunnel with blinding illumination, trapping the companions in plain sight. Diving to the ground, they took cover in shallow pools of dirty water, rats scurrying over their bodies as they crawled backward, trying to reach the darkness again. The machine guns raked the ground, the muzzleloaders adding their firepower to the incoming barrage. Then, a Gren bounced along the train tracks from deeper within the tunnel. The sphere stopped near Ryan, and he saw the handle was still wrapped in electrical tape. A gift relayed from Christy. Reaching out, he tried to reach it, but the heavy slugs from the Sec-Men were hitting everywhere, and Ryan was forced to duck low again. He tried once more and got a bullet through the hair.
Ah, fire blast!
They were trapped. And the next step by Mitchum would be to launch a Firebird and blow them to hell, guided by the tiny pilots and the warheads. Now they were going to have to try to run for it. Never a good plan, and confined in a tunnel it was damn near useless. Working the bolt to clear a jam in the Uzi, JB glanced overhead and saw the ceiling was coated with sleeping bats. Thousands of them.
Well, I'll be damned.
They were safe from the blaster fire because of the angle, but maybe he could do something about that.